Good morning and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Friday, July 7th, 2000. In the Creekside Room this morning, Eunice Scarfe continues her writing workshop. Today's session is entitled The Purpose of Story. This is session SCE 2000-8. Let's listen in.
Today we named The Purpose of Story as the little banner headline. Those of you who've been writing here this week, or not writing here this week, what's the purpose of telling your own story? What does it achieve? Why do it?
Greater understanding of it, struggles with...
We're taking all answers as givens, right to the center, whatever answer is right.
Struggles with your ability, my ability to write, and then with the hope that I could pass it to someone.
Okay. Understanding for myself, the hope I could pass it to someone. For what purpose pass it to someone? I'm playing devil's advocate. I wouldn't do story if I didn't think it was dynamite. Why pass it to someone?
Well, I'm passing it, some of this I hope I pass to relatives unborn yet.
All right.
And others to, like my kids. So they know my story.
Okay, so they know. So they know my story, both horizontally as the in the community in which you live, and vertically those who come after. All right. Anyone else? Why tell your story, if you wish? Why read story? You were talking about being a reader. We're naming the obvious in a sense, but what is your answer?
Well, I use the word integration, which is, I think of the self as having many parts, similar to what you're talking about, but... And part of writing it down assists in the process of seeing all the parts and how they fit together,
yes.
Or not.
I sometimes do this class as patchwork quilt. A page a day is a piece a day, and you are in charge of how you piece it together, what you choose to put in, what you choose to leave out. Integration. Ira Prokof, who began, I think, the whole wave of journal writing in the mid-50s with his journal workshop, was Jungian in origin, studied with Jung, sees the self in the center, and an infinite number of ways into the understanding and the integration of the self, of which you are in charge.
The notion also there is that those parts that are unknown, or not known very well, one ends up recapitulating the dilemmas of over and over and over and over until they get known and brought in.
Mm-hmm. That occurs to me that makes them liberating as well as integrating.
That's right. Well, the process of integration is a liberating process. Exactly.
That's, right.
That's the.
Yeah. And I often see what we do is releasing story, not judging it.
And that's why the
not
story.
Not figuring it out, releasing it.
And that's why the stories of not just at the individual level. My work is at the community and organizational level. The reason it's important to hear the stories of different parts of the community is because unless you do, you are left, you know, part. You're not liberated because you don't know those stories.
Right.
You haven't integrated within yourself.
And the community itself, you gather people in as you hear their story. Those of you who wrote yesterday, last night, when we sat around the circle and every seat miraculously filled till the circle was complete, of the stories we heard, we gather together. We become one story. I often think the second half of the workshop as we do it is we speak together. A piece of human experience, a piece of human experience, a piece of this community's experience, until we come into a, together. Ingrid, I need your advice. Do we wait for the bell? Is that
you are supposed to ring the bell 5 minutes before your session.
But a bell did ring.
Thank you.
It was a bus bell.
But it was a bus bell, so let's call it class bell.
Let's start.
Yes.
I'd like to play you, just for opening, but also if you'd like to use it as prompt, a piece from a recording that I think, for me, is phenomenal. And I've decided for Terry, too, because he's Irish. This is a man, a folk singer, writing of his ancestors, Irish and Norwegian. He calls it The Man from God Knows Where. Have any of you encountered this? It's out in the last year or so. But it is everyone's right to do the collection of, from the sides of your family, you may have them from both sides may be from the same origin, but he's very deliberately tried to write the Irish story, the Norwegian story, as it is manifested in his generation. And I would like to do, it takes 1 minute, Iris DeMint singing The Old Rugged Cross.
What is his name?
He's Tom Russell.
Tom Russell.
So you can use this as centering time to put the date on the page, and then I'm going to do the readings as soon as this is finished for prompts. It's July
7th.
Year 2000, Holden Village. I get it at the top of your blank page while we listen to this. This song will evoke memories, I would think, of when you last sang it, heard it, or the words themselves. Now, Terry, it's still blinking. Small little problem of just making this play. Sound, it says it's going to be 15. Let's just have it. I don't know where you are, I haven't heard. He's trying to track that first generation experience in a musical. This was done at a folk festival recently. The Irish against the Norwegian, back and forth. A patchwork, again, as you are doing in text today. You might ask yourself, what music would accompany the text that you're writing of your origin and your life, your story? Okay, let's begin with the prompts. I think I've seen all of you before, except Katie, here's paper. Welcome. Jot a line down or a phrase from the words that you hear. Feel free to start with those words, or incorporate those words, or ignore those words. You have no obligation to use the prompt. It's a catalyst and invitation to go into your story. The first one I'd like to read to you is from Di Grant, a Mennonite poet in Canada, and it's called, If I Told a Sliver of What I Know, Who Would Listen? And she writes it all in one breath. There's no punctuation, it's about a 14-line poem. So that raises a question. If I told Di Grant, B-R-A-N-D-T, it comes from Questions I Asked My Mother, a book of poetry.
Again, I still haven't got the name.
I'm sorry, Di Grant, B-R-A-N-D-T. If I told even a sliver of what I know, Who would listen? If I cracked open the chestnut-colored beads around my neck, if I danced all night to the drumming blood and collapsed at your feet at daybreak, if I clutched your feet as you were leaving, if I sang the sweet siren song of the sea, if I showed the stigmata on my hands and feet, if, as they were turning to go, I caught one's eyes over her shoulder, winningly, yes, she might say, turning, yes, if I rolled everything up into a ball, compressed thunder to a smile, if I told even a sliver of what I know haltingly, who would listen? And I think I'm going to stop there and ask you to write a list. Who would listen? We're going to take a minute and a half. If you told even a sliver of what you know, who would listen? Who is the audience for whom you're writing? And it can be me, myself, and I first. Just a list, and then we'll move on to the prompts we're going to write prose to. If you like, you can add, who do you not want to listen? Who do you want to make sure is not going to hear this? That can be disabling in writing, to imagine the critical eye. If you like, a few names. As soon as you get them written, you sort of put a circle around them, get them off the page. They are not going to be the recipient. Okay, let's each read from somebody on the list. Let's get them into the center of the room. Who's the audience that will receive, that will hear? Just one name from your list. Let's name them into the center.
Emily.
Okay, let's just go around. Emily.
Children.
Bill.
My husband.
Bill, my husband.
Jen.
Jen.
My father.
Sigurd. Churchman.
Churchman. Okay, let's hear two other prompts. Another one from Di Brandt, one from an Inuit writer, and two lines from a Japanese writer in Canada who wrote the first novel, broke the silence on the Japanese relocation during World War II. The book is Obasan. That would be the third one. So we're reading from three prompts. Take any words you like, borrow them for your own purposes, go wherever you want to in memory or imagination. Second one from Di Brandt, this is called Let Me Tell You, Dear Reader. And this is also written in one breath. She's specialized in eliminating punctuation, I think, and it works for her purposes. You may borrow the first line, Let Me Tell You, Dear Reader. This is her version. Let me tell you, dear reader, about the time my body was a ship and I sailed the seas of downtown Toronto in it. Sails billowing, full of wind, spirit breath, baby's breath. And the young men on Bloor Street averted their eyes. And the Portuguese construction workers on Huron Street whistled through their teeth and grunted and said, ah, now there's a mama. And the young women in the park coming suddenly into view with their strollers on the green grass, and I sailing down the sidewalks past them, glorious in my pride. Ah, dear reader, let me tell you how I loved my body then, my huge floating belly, my nipples big, dark, swollen with milk, leaking, desire, golden, liquid, all over the bed and the pillow and the floor. And how I loved my lover then, who filled me with such bounty, erotic trembling, oceanic bliss, smacking, sucking, stroking my sunlit prow, me, big with child. It was then, dear reader, my brain sank into my womb, dark-lipped, bearded, dripping with child, with child, with child. Such a grand billowing on the high seas, such unfurling, such a mighty flowering among the busy streets, expectant, pregnant. Now, not all of you are going to write, let me tell you, dear reader, about the time I was pregnant. It is her version, let me tell you, dear reader, about the time. Notice all the sea imagery, billowing, sails, on the high seas, oceanic. She carries through the notion of being great ship sailing the high sea of pregnancy. But you can all use the line, let me tell you, dear reader, about the time. Pick anything from memory or experience. All right, that's Di Brandt. Then quite a totally different thing from an Inuit writer. And this is called, and it was published in the Inuit language, one of the magazines in Canada that takes the original language of the writer and the translation. It's Cooking Bear Meat. And this is directions for doing something. If you wish today to go into something very simple, something that you know well how to do, directions for. First, you skin the bear. Then you cut the front of the bear down the middle. Then take all the things inside the bear out. First, you cut the front teeth with three big bones and take them off. And then the back feet, the same, with three bones. Then cut off the head of the bear. Then you cut along the long bone and ribs in the back. Then cut around the big bone near the bottom of the bear. That is the part of the bear we put on a string and cook on an open fire. First, you hang the big bone near the fire. It goes round and round, round and round, round and round, back and forth, many times, until it gets brown. And that's the end of her poem. Well, you notice she didn't say how to catch a bear, which apparently is assumed everybody would know, or what tools to use. In some ways, it's a very good illustration of not being able to imagine an audience who doesn't know the context, what is left out. So what do you know well? It could be anything from how to make a relationship work to how to clean a saucepan. How to do. And it speaks to an audience that may or may not know the context in which you're speaking. And then let's take from Joy Kogawa, and I'll put her name on the board, who is the Japanese poet and prose writer who first, in mid-1970s, wrote the book Obasan. A few of you heard lines from this the other day, but it's the theme quote that we used in the announcement today. And the quote is, which you'll hear, such a time there was once. And you can go back to any period in your history, in your personal history, such a time that was once, and go into the story of what happened then. One of the few pictures we have of Grandma is in the silver-framed family photograph hanging above the piano, taken when my brother Stephen, the first grandchild on either side of the two families, was born. The Nakanis and the Katos are posed together, the four new grandparents seated in front of them like an advance guard, with their offspring arranged behind them. Grandma Nakani is gentle-faced, her hair rolled back like a wreath, her plump hands held tightly in her soft lap. Every once in a while, Obasan, the aunt, catches me looking at this photograph, and she says, such a time there was once. My parents, like two needles, knit the families carefully into one blanket. If we were knit into a blanket once, it's now become badly moth-eaten with time. And that's the end of that passage from Obasan. Such a time there was once. Use photograph, if you like, to name who once was. Such a time there was once. One last line from Janet Kaufman begins, my mother lied to me about everything. Just that one line. Janet Kaufman, Mennonite writer, The book is called The Collaborators. And it opens, "My mother lied to me about everything." You can say, "My mother never lied to me about anything." Or you can go into the lies of any person, not just the mother. What you were told that you've had to reverse. So let's write